Well, you can be seated tonight, and I want you to, one more time, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we're going to continue on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and just continue to learn a little bit about this some more. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11 is our base text, and we're going to read that again tonight, and then we'll get into some other things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. It's on the screen. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Let's just pray one more time. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Speak to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the revelation gifts of the Holy Spirit. The revelation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you a brief recap. I do that. I'm a preacher, but I'm a teacher by nature. I love to educate. I love to make sure that people have the facts and the information that they need to have. And so every time I approach this subject and it's a continuation, I try to do my due diligence to just do a really brief rewind so that nobody is left behind. Tonight, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, our text in 12 and 13 and 14, those chapters all flow together, and Paul is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the local church, and in chapter number 12, what we just read, he lists 9 spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to His people as He wills. These gifts are categorically separated in 3 different ways by theologians alike. You have what we learned last week was the vocal gifts. That was tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. You have what is called the power gifts. Those would be the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then you have what we're going to learn tonight, which would be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, which they call the revelation gifts because they reveal something to you. So we learned about that, and then we learned a couple of other things. We learned that God doesn't want us to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual things. Our very first verse in this passage says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, I made a joke on week 1 that I want to reiterate with you. You can't fix stupid, but you can fix ignorant. Because ignorant simply means unlearned. And unlearned is not a bad thing. If you don't know how to fish, then you're ignorant of fishing. If you don't know how to work on a car, you're ignorant of working on a car. But I've got a good enough concept of learning that I could go to Lance back there in the sound booth and he could teach me how to work on something because he's mechanically inclined. And so the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant. And here's why. Because people are afraid of what they don't understand. They're afraid of what they don't understand. Also, we learned this, that spiritual gifts do not equal spiritual maturity. Spiritual gifts do not equal spiritual maturity. Oftentimes, we see somebody that may prophesy or pray for the sick or something like that, and we say, "Wow, those people are really deep." But the truth is, when you read the context of Paul's letters to 1 Corinthians and the second letter as well, They weren't that spiritual. In fact, they were pretty carnal. And Paul told them over and over again, guys, you need to grow up. And he emphasized love. So what do we have here? We have nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? We have nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the dove several weeks ago that has five major tail feathers. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher, those five gifts. You know, the tail feather of a dove guides it. The wings enable it to fly. So, nine gifts, nine fruit. Let me ask you a question. How is fruit developed? Think about it for a second. How many of you have ever planted something and fruit grew instantly? It doesn't happen that way. Now, I think probably it happened that way in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. I just imagine that they pulled off something and something just grew out. That's my sci-fi imagination. I can't prove it. That's just kind of how I think. But in the world that you and I live, how does fruit grow? Fruit grows over time. You don't just plant an apple tree and then boom, here comes apples. There's a season. You know, they begin to sprout. They begin to bloom and everything. So it's a process. Everybody say process. Let me tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is a process. You have to grow in love. You have to grow in patience. You have to grow in gentleness and kindness. Because the more you're in God, what happens? You grow and you learn and you develop. And I've said this before, the fruit of the Spirit are like fruit of the earth. They grow the best in fertilizer. And it was James who said, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, because the trying of your faith works patience. It's the mess of life that causes God's process to grow in you and make you become fruitful. So the more situations you get in, you may not like it, that cause you to learn patience. That red light, that line at McDonald's, that thing that you don't want to wait for, the more you go through that, the more it builds you. Now, that's what happens. Now, here's the difference between fruit and a gift. Fruit are developed over time. Gifts are not. My children run downstairs on Christmas morning and they see a gift and they quickly receive it. There's no cultivating it. They don't have to grow it. They don't have to play. You know, they don't have to do any of that. They just receive a gift. Everybody say receive. That's the way the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. So you don't have to be, you should be, but being super, super, you know, everything in a row in your life and super perfect and super spiritual isn't a qualification to be used in this. Yieldedness is, though. So here's what I want you to see. When God gives us a gift of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't take long to just receive a gift. You just receive it in a moment. So here we go tonight, looking at the revelation gifts. I've gotten some great feedback from this series. Matter of fact, I've got several people who've asked me questions on the side, and I'm glad because the ministry of the Holy Spirit needs to be in operation more in our lives and the life of the church than it ever has before. So tonight, we're going to look at these gifts. Tonight, we're going to look, first of all, if you're taking notes, at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. If you're taking notes, write down number one, the word of wisdom. The Bible says to one, the word of wisdom with the same spirit. The word of wisdom is a supernatural piece of knowledge used to fix a situation that is given from God. It is not carnal wisdom. It is not wisdom that you've acquired on your own. Matter of fact, it's wisdom that without the divine intervention of God, one person may not have even been able to comprehend this thing. It is supernatural wisdom from God that fixes or helps to fix a situation. It is a word of wisdom. Now, you might be saying tonight, Pastor, can you give me an example of that in Scripture? I absolutely can. I want you to hold your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and just flip back to the Old Testament real quick to 1 Kings. Now, Solomon was a pretty wise guy, wasn't he? 1 Kings chapter number 3. And as I told you before, And there's instances of this in the New Testament as well, but this is probably my favorite out of all of the examples. But out of all of the nine gifts of the Spirit, seven of them were in operation in the Old Testament. The only two that are new to the New Testament are tongues and interpretation of tongues. But I want to give you an example of the word of wisdom in the Old Testament. Now we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 16, right? Read it with me. It's on the screen. It says, "Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, 'Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth when she was in the house. And then it happened the third day after I'd given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together, and no one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the middle of the night because she laid on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had borne.' Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.' And the first woman said, 'No, the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son.' And thus they spoke and argued before the king. And the king said, 'This one says, this one is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child into two pieces, and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' And the other said, 'Let him neither be not mine nor yours, but divide him.' And so the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother.'" Verse number 28, "And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." This was an ordinary wisdom. This was wisdom from God. Let me tell you right now, Solomon had no intention of sawing that child in half. No matter how much you've watched the magicians on TV or in Las Vegas saw the woman in half, that was not Solomon's real life plan. He knew by the wisdom, the wisdom of God to fix a situation that was problematic. He knew that as these two women were arguing their case in front of him, that he needed the wisdom of God. And at that moment, God supernaturally gave him what he needed to be able to rectify the situation. And as they began to act like they were going to draw the sword, the woman whose child it really was, she said, "No, no, no, don't do it." Why? Because nobody in their right mind wants to do that to their own child if it's the real child. And so what happened? The other one said, "Nope, cut him in half. If I can't have him, you can't have him either." How many of you know somebody like that? Well, Solomon immediately, by the wisdom of God, said, "No, that's not it. It's her child." That, my friends, is a right now picture in the Word of God of a word of wisdom. When God supernaturally gives you insight into how to fix a situation that is outside of your natural understanding. It's interesting to see this happen a lot of times. Here's another one that we see often. We see the word of knowledge. One is the word of wisdom. One is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, or the word of wisdom rather, is a supernatural piece of information used to fix a problem. The word of knowledge is just simply a supernatural piece of information about a person, a situation, or something that God gives you that you wouldn't know in your own strength. How many of you have ever just known something? And you just know that you know that you know. See, I'm convinced that many times us as Christians are used in these things and we just don't even know what they are. And maybe we've over-spiritualized the gifts of the Spirit to the point to where we've reasoned them away and don't even realize that God's speaking to us through these ways. And yet, so tonight I want to bring attention to them. Tonight is the word of knowledge. It is a piece of information oftentimes, and not just the whole story. It is a sampling, if you will, of information that God uses, and oftentimes He uses this to spark faith in another person. I'm going to give you some examples. Oftentimes, the word of knowledge can be used in, or could be an operation when praying for somebody who is sick. I've seen that happen before in big crusade type of services where I'm not talking about that stuff where people are like, they have a crowd of 5,000 people, you know, the large crowd, and somebody's like, the Lord told me somebody has a backache. Come on now. What's your odds out of 5,000 people? I mean, how generic is that? Most of America has a backache. Amen? Okay, I'm not talking about that. Although I'm not knocking that, I guess God really could give somebody that word. I mean, I'm just saying, or a headache or something like that. I mean, a specific word. I watched a clip earlier today of a minister from back in the 40s, and I won't mention his name, but it was a black and white reel-to-reel, and God would use him in the gifts of the Spirit in this way, so much so that the FBI showed up in his meetings because they didn't know how he had the information that he had. There was one woman who came up to be healed, and he told her where she lived, where she moved from, the car accident she was in, what kind of car the other car was, all of that kind. By this time, that woman's faith was built so high, she didn't have any problem receiving her healing because she knew God was right there where she was. That's what the word of wisdom is, the word of knowledge. It gives you information into a circumstance or situation. We see it all the time. I had a dear good friend of mine back in the late 90s named Robbie Mitchell. And he was at this church. And he was preaching a revival that had gone on for about a week or so. I think it was in Texas. And as he was ministering, he was preaching there, and I think this was a Wednesday night, Thursday night. It was a Monday through Friday revival. And there was a man on this side of the auditorium that had a brown suit on. And he was there with his wife and his family and all that. So it was a blue suit. And then on this side of the auditorium, there was a woman with a red dress on. And she was there with her husband, and they were on the opposite sides of the building. And they were praying, you know, at the end of the service, and they were church members and all of those things. And my friend, who's, he's probably in his, Brother Robbie's probably, you know, almost 60 now, with got grandkids and stuff, but he and I talk a lot. And what he said was, is that while he was ministering, the Lord kept drawing him to these two people, brown suit, red dress, brown suit, red dress. He kept feeling like something wasn't right. And so finally, he stopped and he just began to pray and had other people pray with people. And he was seeking God in his prayer time. And the Lord spoke to him in his prayer. And he said, the woman in the red dress is having an affair with a man in the brown suit. He said, oh Lord, what do I do with that? Like, why are you even telling me this? You know, he was a young guy at this time. He's sweating bullets, and he says, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And so he didn't embarrass him, whatever. He went through, he prayed for people. He got over here with the man at the red, at the brown suit, and he said he got him, and he said, sir, I don't mean, he didn't do it where his, even his wife could hear it. He said, sir, I don't mean to embarrass you, but the Lord told me, he said, I'm stepping out on a limb here that you're in an affair, and you need to get that right with God. All the man's color went out of his whole body. He began to weep and travail, weep and travail, weep and travail. He worked his way to the woman. Same thing. He's in the pastor's office after church, and he tells the pastor, Pastor, here's what I've done. And the pastor loses all the color out of his face. And he says, well, what's wrong? He goes, that's one of my deacons. And so he says, what's going to happen? And while they were talking, the phone rang. And it was one of them old kind of phones with a rotary on it, you know. And, you know, so it was ringing pretty hard. He picked it up, and all they could hear was wailing on the other end of the phone. And long story short, the man in the brown suit and the woman in the red dress got it right with God, spared their families, and now they're serving faithfully somewhere for Jesus. That is scary, but that was the word of knowledge. You see, everybody likes the fuzzy gifts, but not everybody likes some of these other gifts. Here's some scriptural references. In John chapter 4, Jesus finds himself walking through Samaria. In fact, the Bible says that he had to pass through Samaria. You know the story. I don't want to spend a lot of time there. There's a woman at the well drawing water in the middle of the day. We've got a lot of things in this picture that are categorically wrong. First of all, you have a Jewish man in Samaria. That right there doesn't mix. Then you've got a Samaritan woman drawing water in a well, talking to a Jewish man. That doesn't mix. And so there's a big awkward situation right here happening. And so Jesus does what Jesus does and strikes up a conversation with this woman. She starts bringing up family worship and where her people worship and everything. And this was Jacob's well, and we've always drank from here. It's just like church people, ain't it? We've always done it this way. We've always drank here. We've always done this right here. And so anyway, Jesus makes a statement. He says, "Woman, if you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again." And she's just flabbergasted. And you know, Jesus says, "Go tell your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband." To which Jesus replies, "You speak right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." Which goes to tell you, Jesus doesn't see living together as marriage. That went over like a lead balloon on a submarine, but it's the truth. Now, he didn't condemn her, but he called her out where she was. He said, "You've spoken correctly. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband." And this woman was like, "I perceive you're a prophet." I mean, really? You think so? And you know what the Bible records? She ran back to where she lived and told everybody, "Come see a man who told me everything about me." And church history, it's not in the Bible, but church history goes on to record that this woman became a great, she might have been in an unofficial capacity, but became a great evangelist for the cause of Jesus and built many churches in the area of Samaria. Amazing. Everybody say amazing. That's a word of knowledge. Jesus knew that. And guess what? When Jesus said that, she knew. He's got my attention. So you've got that. Then there's another one, 2 Kings chapter 6. We don't have time to turn there tonight. You know, Elisha is, you know, standing up against the enemies of God, and the king of Syria is trying to come against Israel. And the king of Syria calls his men in and he says, "Guys, there's a spy in our camp. Because every time I get ready to do something, that Elisha knows what we're going to do. And it's like he's two steps ahead of us." And what does the servant of the king of Syria say? He said, "Well, Elijah hears what you say in his bedchamber. And the Lord gives him words of knowledge on the plans of the enemy." So we see that in the scripture. Now, lastly tonight, this is not exhaustive, but lastly in the revelation gifts, is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. And I want you to look back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 with me really quickly. And I want you to see this with me and look at verse number 10. He says, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits." Stay right there. If you're the type of person that writes in your Bible, if you're not, I respect that. I write in mine. But I want you to underline, or if you've got a digital Bible, highlight the word spirits. And I want you to pay attention to it. Because it is not capital S. If it was capital S, then it would refer to the Holy Spirit. But this does not. It is a lowercase s, which means it refers to spirits, the plainest way to say it, it refers to spirits that are not divine. In other words, human spirits or evil spirits or even angelic spirits, but it doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit. And so it is the discerning of spirits or spiritual beings. I want to correct some bad theology tonight just for a moment, because I've heard people say this and they're well-meaning, but it's just not true. They call it the gift of discernment. There is no such thing. It's not a spiritual gift. The gift of discernment is not a spiritual gift. In fact, what most people call the gift of discernment is nothing more than the gift of suspicion. And tonight I'm not talking about a hunch. Tonight I'm not talking about you just have a feeling. This is the discerning of spirits, the spirits of men, the spirit of demons, the spirit of angels, to be able to discern what God wants you to know. It's literally when He snatches the realm of the veil off of the realm of the spirit realm, and you can see into the heavenlies and see. We see that all throughout the Bible. But let me give you some examples as we look at this. Okay? Here we go. So, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are going to pray, right? It says, it came to pass as they went to prayer that a certain woman who was possessed with a spirit of divination says that she cried out to Paul and them, Paul and Silas. It says, "These are the men of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation." Now, on the surface, that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, after all, she was telling the truth, right? I mean, here Paul and Silas are walking, and they're serving God and whatever, and this woman who is by trade a fortune teller, she is a psychic, she is demon-possessed. What she does is she tells people their fortunes for money. And just like a prostitute would have a pimp, she had somebody that she worked for, and she had to give part of her profits to this man at the end of the day. And so she came and she made her fortune by fortune telling, and Paul discerned that she was filled with an evil spirit. And he said, "Come out of her, you unclean spirit." And the spirit left her immediately. And it made her masters upset. And that's basically part of what caused Paul and Silas to get thrown into prison, because they disrupted Satan's apple cart. Now, here's what we got to understand. This woman who was trailing behind them saying, "These are the men of the Most High God who show unto us the way of salvation." Now, on the surface, it doesn't look bad. After all, was John the Baptist not called the forerunner of Jesus? He prepared the way of the Lord. So was this woman not the forerunner of Paul and Silas? The answer is no, because her motives were bad. Do you know what she said was right, but her heart was wrong? She had wicked intentions. She didn't mean them any harm. You know how I know that? She was trying to draw attention to them so that they would be imprisoned, beaten, and tortured and not fulfill the assignment that God had put on their life. And so she was, everywhere that she went, she was mocking them. That's what she was doing. "These are the men of the Most High God who show unto us the way of salvation." And Paul discerned it in his spirit. Do you know how he did that? He did it by revelation. Why? Because spirits are invisible. You can't see them unless God opens your eyes. I've been in the room with a lot of people when they've left and gone to heaven. Not every one of them I've seen a spirit floating to the sky. I'm sure God can let you see that sometimes if, you know, He has a purpose for doing so. But human spirits are invisible and demon spirits are invisible. That's why they have to get in something to wreak havoc. So, are you still with me? The discerning of spirits. Then, we see another instance in the life of Jesus with Peter. Peter is a disciple. Peter is an apostle. Peter is the one who said, "I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll never forsake you. Doesn't matter how hard people come against you, I won't leave." Wrong answer, Peter. Not only did you leave, you denied him, and you weren't there in the most important portions of his life. He was in the shadows of the cross. He went back fishing, but thank God that when Jesus resurrected, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He's full of mercy. Full of mercy. But there was a time in Jesus and Peter's relationship where Jesus was trying to tell Peter about the cross and what he was going to do. And Jesus basically told Peter, look, Peter, I'm about to leave. I'm about to be crucified. That's just part of the plan. You know, we've been talking about this plan ever since I've been with you guys. And you're just not getting it because, you know, you're thinking with your carnal mind and not your fleshly mind. And Peter says, suffer it not to be so, Lord. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't saying Peter was demon-possessed, but he was discerning the voice of the enemy speaking through another person. Just believers cannot be demon-possessed, but they can be demon-influenced. And that's what was going on in this moment. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So through the discerning of spirits, God was able to reveal to both Christ, because Jesus was in the flesh, Son of God, Son of Man, the Holy Spirit revealed to him the intention of Peter. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul the intention of the woman possessed with the spirit of divination. And God can reveal to us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been around somebody, and I'm not meaning a hunch or a suspicion, but I mean seriously, have you ever been around somebody and there was just, I don't know, you just felt there was something off or evil, and you know, nothing on the, I mean, I'm not talking about all of us. We talk about we shouldn't judge. We all do. Every one of us. There are certain people, by the way they look, dress, smell, you wouldn't leave your children with them without even having a conversation, because we all judge. It's human nature. It's not right or wrong, but we do it. Now, what I'm saying is that when something looks right on the outside and everything looks right, but you have a nudge, an urge, a check, a red light, however you want to describe it, and the Lord just says, don't do it, something's not right there. When you yield to that, it works out good most of the time. When you run that, it doesn't work good most of the time. It's the discerning of spirits. You know, I believe the Lord can help you discern when people are... I know some people who lie so good they could do it professionally and make $1 million a year. Look you in the face and tell you the craziest story and just lie, 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 lie. Well, in the natural, you may not be able to pick that up. But if the Lord gives you a gift of the discerning of spirits and you need to know this is right or wrong, you can take it to the bank. That's how you discern if somebody is demon-possessed or not, or whether or not they just have a problem. Because everybody that has a problem isn't demon-possessed. But everybody that's demon-possessed has a problem. Okay? So discerning of spirits will help you to know the difference. So I want you to see tonight, as we get ready to wrap this up, that these three gifts are called revelation gifts because God reveals something to you. The word of knowledge is information to be used, oftentimes, as I said a moment ago, to build faith in people for a situation, a circumstance. I gave you instances for that. There was another time I didn't share with you on that one where Jesus comes to Nathanael and he says, Nathanael, you know, you are one of Israel in whom there's no guile, and I saw you under the fig tree. Jesus wasn't anywhere near the fig tree, but he had a word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is divine information to fix a situation. Wisdom that comes from God. And discerning of spirits is divine revelation of the spirit of a man or an angelic being or whatever, for God to be able to give you the discerning and the insight that you need in that moment. Now, once again, all of the gifts of the Spirit are, we don't possess them. You can't turn them off like a light switch, on and off and on and off. You can't do that. The Holy Spirit gives them to us when we need them. So you know what's important? More than, you know, there are a lot of people who pray, Lord, I want the gift of prophecy. Oh, Lord, I just want the gift of tongues. Oh, Lord, I just want the gifts of healings. You know, rather than that, why don't our prayer just be, Lord, help me to be sensitive in the moment. because I want the best gift. You know what the best gift is? The one you need at the moment. And if we're sensitive, God can give it to you. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen? So next week, and we're closed, you can close your Bible. Next week, we're going to study about the power gifts, the gifts of healings, plural. I want you to notice that. There are more than one gifts in the realm of healing. Gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. And next week, I'm really going to spend a lot of time because it's a point of confusion to some people. Faith is a gift and it's a fruit of the Spirit. But they are not the same. And I'm going to show you next week how those are different. Amen? Stand up on your feet with me. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I've done this every week. And I'm going to do the same thing tonight. If you want the Holy Spirit to use you in a greater way, if you want to be more available, more sensitive to His voice, and you say tonight, Pastor Brad, before God and everybody in this room, I want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to the point to where His gifts can flow through me. I've emphasized this over and over again. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are. It's only as weird as you make it. But the Holy Spirit wants to flow through you so that you can walk in power and fulfill the call that's on your life. Because all of us are called to do something. And so if that's you tonight, why don't you just raise your hand? And by raising your hand, you're signifying, amen, so be it. That's what I want to do. Now, why don't you raise your other hand and join me in prayer for a moment. And I want you not to listen to me pray. I want you to pray your own prayer and ask out loud the Holy Spirit to use you in a greater way. Can we do that? Let's go.